Today we're going to learn Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph of Maseches Kiddushin. We are holding at the very bottom of Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, V'rami de Rabbi Meir, Adi Rabbi Meir, V'rami de Rabbanan, Adi Rabbanan. We could ask a contradiction between Rabbi Meir on himself and the Rabbanan on themselves, meaning the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan that we just discussed seems to go against the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan elsewhere, and we'll explain in a second. De Tanya, the Brisa tells us as follows, Ein Isha Podem Meiser Sheni Below Chomesh. A woman is not allowed to be Podem Meiser Sheni. Being Podem Meiser Sheni means exchanging your Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is an important concept. Meiser Sheni that has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten by the owner in Yerushalayim. Well, if you're not able to do that, you can exchange it for money and use that money and bring the money to Yerushalayim and spend it on food there. Normally, when you're Podem Meiser Sheni, you have to add 25%. So if you have $100 worth of Meiser Sheni, you need to give $125 in order to be Podem, in order to redeem that Meiser Sheni. So Ein Isha Podem Meiser Sheni below Chomesh. A woman, even though she is commanded to add a Chomesh, when she's Poda Meiser Sheni, since she has the same din as her husband, who is the owner of the fruits, and when an owner of the fruits is Poda Meiser Sheni, he has to add a Chomesh, she too has to add a Chomesh, which means as follows. The halacha is, regularly, if I want to be Poda my own Meiser Sheni, that's when I need to add a Chomesh. Chomesh means 25%, it really means a fifth, but somehow that comes out halachically to 25%. So when I'm Poda my own Meiser Sheni, I have to add 25%. But if I'm Poda someone else's Meiser Sheni, I don't have to add 25%. So what about if a woman is Poda her husband's Meiser Sheni? Is that called that she's being Poda her own Meiser Sheni? Because husband, wife, they're all the same? Or does that mean that she's being Poda someone else's Meiser Sheni? So Rabbi Meir says, a woman cannot be Poda Meiser Sheni without adding that fifth. She counts as her husband. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Isha Poda, I'm sorry, that was the Chacham, that was not Rabbi Meir. Now Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Isha Poda Meiser Sheni below Chomesh, she does not have to add the Chomesh, she does not have to add the 25%, because she counts as somebody else. She's not her husband, she's a different person, and when someone else is Poda Meiser Sheni, you don't have to add the 25%. Say, Echidami, what exactly is the case over here of this Meiser Sheni? If we're talking about that the woman is using her husband's money to be Poda, her husband's Meiser Sheni, well then obviously she's obviously working as a shliach of the husband, and then Rav Meir's opinion wouldn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you add the Chomesh? It's exactly like the husband being Poda his own Meiser Sheni. His wife is a shliach using his money to be Poda his Meiser Sheni. So what? Do you want to say that? Maybe we're talking about where it's her money to be Poda his Meiser Sheni? Well then, Ish Amarachmana Velo Isha. The Pasuk says, if a person is... Ish mima asro, the pasuk says, if a person is poda his meiser sheni, he has to add 25%. But we darshin that a woman does not have to add 25% when she's poda meiser sheni of her husband, because she's considered an outside party and it's not hers, so she doesn't have to have the 25%. So then, why would the Tanakhama hold that the woman also has to add the 25%? So whichever way you say, whether she's using her husband's money or whether she's using her own money, it doesn't make any sense. Because if she's using her husband's money, everybody should agree that you do have to add the 25%. If she's using her own money, everybody should agree you don't have to add the 25%. So why is there a machlokas over here? Elalav ki agavna. Must be that we're talking about the following case. The akni la acher mana. Someone else is makna to her $100 or whatever amount of money. Va'amar la. And the person who's giving her this money says to her, Al menas shetifti bo es ha-meiser. I'm giving you this money only on the condition that you are poda the meiser. That's the machlokas tanakam and remeir. Does that tonight help to make it that the husband does not automatically acquire that money? meaning, do we consider this as a woman being poda maaser sheni with her own money, or do we consider this like a woman being poda maaser sheni with her husband's money? But you see, v'ipcha shemana luhu. In this brisa, Reb Meir and the Chachamim hold the opposite of the way we explain their shita here in Maseches Kiddushin, because according to the Tanakhama, this tanai does not help. The husband becomes the owner of the money, and that's why when she's poda, she has to add the chomesh, she has to add the extra 25%. According to Rabbi Meir, this tanai does help, and therefore the husband does not become the owner of the money. She is the owner of the money, and therefore she does not have to add 25%. So you see, this brisa is the exact opposite of how Rabbi Eliezer explained the machlokas about giving a gift to an eved al menas sheyetze bo lecherus, on the condition that he goes free. That according to Rabbi Meir, we said that tanai does not help. According to the Chacham, we said it does help. So why, when it comes to giving money to a woman, so that with the tanai that her husband doesn't get it, that it would only be used for being poda de maaser sheni, why is it that a mayor says such a tanai helps and the Chacham say it doesn't help, yet when giving money to an eved with the condition that he use it to go free, it's the opposite. Reb Meir says it doesn't help and the Chacham say it does help. So the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Abaye, Epoch. Abai says you should switch the Brisa, switch the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir and the Brisa to make it conform to the way we explained. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, just like an Eved does not acquire the money that you give him on the condition that he goes free with it, so too a woman does not acquire the money that you give her on the condition to be poda maaser sheni, and therefore everything is considered to belong to the husband, and the woman would have to add a fifth. And the Chacham hold that the condition does help, and the woman does acquire the money, and therefore she does not have to add the extra chomesh. So you just switch around the shita to make it conform. Rava Amar Li Olam Lo Tepuch. Rava says, no, you don't have to switch anything around. There's a difference between Maaser Sheni and Avdus. V'hacha b'maaser da'asa mibein nasha askinan. Over here we're dealing with, the Bryce is dealing with Maaser that she inherited from her father's house. V'Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir, who says that she doesn't have to add a chomesh l'tamei, goes according to his own shita. Da'amar Maaser mamon hegdishu. Rabbi Meir holds that Maaser is considered to be holy money, and it's not the money of the owner of the fruit. It's God's fruit. It's God's food. Velo kani lebal, and therefore the husband does not own it, because it's not like anything else that a woman would inherit from her father's house. Nor she inherits an iPad from her father that belongs to the husband. She inherits land from her father that belongs to her husband. Maaser sheni, though, she's not really inheriting ownership of it, because it's really mamon of hegdish. It's really God's money, and therefore when she is poda that maaser, using the husband's money, she doesn't have to add a fifth, because it's not the husband is not really the owner of the maaser. Rabbanan l'tamayu, but the Rabbanan go l'shitasam. The Amri mamon hediotu. The Rabbanan hold that maaser sheni is considered money that belongs to the owner itself. Meaning, when I have maaser sheni fruit, I am the owner of the maaser sheni, the kani lebal, and therefore the husband will automatically be the owner of the maaser sheni, the hilkach shlichus debal kavda. And therefore, when she uses the husband's money to be poda that maaser sheni, it's the husband's maaser sheni. She's counting as the shliach of the husband, so she's going to have to add 25%. This is an important concept. These are mamun maaser sheni mamun hediot or maaser sheni mamun gavoa. Whether Maaser, that machlokas, whether Maaser Sheni is considered to be property of the individual, or Maaser Sheni is really considered to be God's property. I mean, fundamentally, there are two ways you could look at Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is something that I am allowed to eat, but only in Yerushalayim. So one way to look at it is that I'm allowed to eat it because it's mine, but there's a restriction that God places on me that I'm only allowed to have it in Yerushalayim. The other way to look at it is, I'm not allowed to eat it anywhere because it doesn't belong to me. It's really Hegdish, it really belongs to God. But God is very kind to me in that He's willing to share it with me if I go to Yerushalayim. He's willing to let me have it if I go to Yerushalayim. Those are the two possibilities, whether it's really fundamentally mine or it's really fundamentally God's. Anyway, the first main point over here is that there are two ways to resolve the contradiction between Reb Meir and the Rabbanan. Two ways to resolve the contradiction between Reb Meir and the Rabbanan. Whether a gift on the condition that a master doesn't gift on the condition that it be used for a specific purpose will keep that gift away from the master. That's the contradiction. If I give an eved a gift with the condition that it be used for pidyon, I give a woman a gift with the condition that it be used for pidyon ma'aser sheni. So if you give a gift, two ways to resolve the contradiction between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan, whether a gift given for a specific purpose will keep it away from the master. One way is A, to switch the opinions, and B, maybe by ma'aser sheni, that's inherited, it may never belong to the husband anyway. By Ma'aser Sheni, that's inherited, it may never, by the woman, it may never belong to the husband anyway. Now the Gemara says, we looked at the Mishnah that an Eved Kanani is freed with Kesef or with Shtar. So the Gemara is going to bring a Braisa that teaches us another way that an Eved Kanani is freed. Tana, Yotzi B'Shein Va'ayin, V'Rashay Evarim Shein El Chosrim. An Eved Kanani can also go free if he knock out his teeth, his tooth, his eye, or any limb that does not grow back and does not heal itself. Meaning, if you knock out his tooth, or you knock out his eye, or any of the other rashi evarim, tips of limbs of his body that a person has, the eved would go free. So bishlam shein va'ayin k'sivi. I understand how we know that he goes free with knocking out his tooth or his eye. It says that in the pasuk. Ela rashi evarim minalan. How do I know that other limbs, that if you knock off the tip of another limb, that he also goes free? So Gemara says dunya d'shein va'ayin. Well, anything that's similar to a tooth and an eye, ma shein va'ayin mumin shabagaloi vein chozrin. Just like shein and ayin, a tooth and an eye are things that are exposed. Blemishes when you knock them out and they don't grow back. Any exposed blemish, any obvious blemish that does not grow back is going to set the Eved free. So ask the Gemara, Ve'em and Ahavu, Shein Vayin, Kshnek Suvna Ban Kechad, Ve'kol Shnek Suvna Ban Kechad, Ein Melamdin. Wait a second, if the Torah only identifies Shein and Ayin as something that the Eved would go free for, maybe we should say that it's only Shein Vayin, because there's an important concept called Shnek Suvna Ban Kechad. Shnei Ksuvim Ban Kechad means the following. When the Torah wants to tell me a rule that's going to apply to Kol HaTorah Kula, the Torah will only give me one example, and I'll know on my own to make a binyanav, a mematzinu, to apply it to Kol HaTorah Kula. But when the Torah wants to tell me exceptions to the rule, the Torah will list two examples. By listing two examples, the Torah is telling me these are not paradigms, these are not the basis of the rule, rather these are exceptions to the rule. So maybe the fact that the Torah didn't just say Shein, nor did it just say Ayin. It said Shein ve'ayin, so maybe those are really not the rule, those are the exceptions to the rule. And any other limb that you knock off of the Eved, he would not go free, says Mar Tzricha. No, the Torah has to write Shein and Ayin, they're both necessary, and therefore they're not really Shnei Ksuvin Aban Kechad. Dikas v'rachmana Shein, if the Torah only would have said about the tooth, Hava Amina, I would have thought Afilu Shein de Chalav. I would have thought that even the baby teeth, Kasrachmana Ayin. That's why the pasuk has to say an eye. V'kasrachmana Ayin. If it only would have told me the eye, Hava Amina Ma Ayin Shenivri Imo, Avkal Shenivri Imo, Aval Shein. Tzricha, I would have thought that only things that he's created with, that you're born with, like an eye. But I would have thought that that a tooth, since you have a shein lo, but a tooth you're not created with, you're not born with. So I would think it does not get included. That's why the Torah has to tell me both. Ah, so once the Torah has to tell me both shein and ayin, because you will not learn one from the other, we no longer say they're shnei ksuvin abam kechad. Rather, we say they are paradigms, they are examples, and there are other evarim that you would also go free with. So main point number two is, the Torah mentions that an eved goes free when you knock out shein v'ayin, tooth and an eye, but the same is true for all 24 rashi evarim. If you knock out any of the 24 tips of limbs, which we're going to identify a little bit later on. Okay, that's it for today.